Welcome to another episode of Forever 39. I'm Annette and she's Megan.
Hello.
We're two New Jersey girls living life in the Great Garden State. Want to connect with us? You can hit us up on Twitter at Forever39NJ. You can also like us on Facebook via the New Jersey 101.5 page. And if you have any topics you want us to cover or any other suggestions for how to improve the show, although I don't know how you improve upon perfection.
Yes, it's just perfection through and through.
Please email us at forever39@nj1015.com. And to get our podcast, you can subscribe via the New Jersey 101.5 app, iTunes, or Google Play. Later on in this episode, we're going to reveal our favorite Christmas movies and how often you should be washing common household items. This is a pretty frightening list, people.
There is one on my list that I cannot stop thinking about.
But first, we're going to talk about why it is so difficult to make friends once you hit a certain age. So I recently read a New York Times article by Alex Williams. This article was actually published a couple years ago.
But I think that's so cool.
But it was, I guess it somehow popped up on my Facebook feed because I think sometimes they just try to drive traffic to certain popular
topics.
They
actually said they reprinted it because they felt the article was timeless.
Makes sense. Okay.
Right?
So he talks about how difficult it is for people to make friends once they hit their 30s and 40s. And there's actually a lot of evidence to back up his claim. So an article in CNN cited a study that finds that a person's social circle shrinks in their mid-20s and the decline continues for the rest of the person's life. The study measured data from 3 million cell phone users and found that at age 25, the average woman contacts 17.5 people per month, while a man contacts 19 people per month. So how does this change over time? Well, the study found that by age 39, women were contacting 15 people and men were contacting 12. So it really drops down for men.
Wow.
So, okay, why is it so hard to make friends in your 30s and 40s? So honestly, I think there's two things going on. First is that you're just busy. You're married. Your focus has changed. You're married. You have kids. Your focus is on your family. For most people, that's what is going on.
Yeah, way less free time.
Way less free time to develop those types of relationships. You don't have a lot of time for yourself to take part in activities where you might meet people. And then I also think the other thing that goes on is you sort of take stock as you get older. Mm-hmm. And the people that were your friends in high school or in college, perhaps you just don't find that you relate to them now. But I actually should say there's a third thing going on. When you are in high school and you're in college, you don't have a lot of outside relationships. You have your family, maybe you have a boyfriend, girlfriend, maybe you don't, and you have your friends. So you have a lot more time to spend with your friends and a lot more time to really get to know them because you don't have all these sort of other relationships. But as you age, you get into the working world, you have working relationships, you may be married, there's that, there's the children, there's in-laws, there's all these other relationships mm-hmm. that come into play. But it is sad because friendships are so important. They have said, you know, studies have said that having friends contributes to good health. You live longer when you have friends. So it's really important to have friends. So it sucks that it's harder to make friends as you get older. And not only is it harder to make friends as you get older, but you're losing them along the way.
Right.
So this is what I have found has worked for me. Doing things that you enjoy, and then you meet people through those common things.
Yes.
So for me, I love to work with animals, and that's what I do on the side. That's my giving back. And I've met some great people through that, through Easel.
Sure.
Hello, Freddie. Hello, Christine. And we've become friends, and that's something that I don't know if I would have thought that would be happening for me at this age.
Well, there is an interesting thing that I read, and it said that these things are crucial to making close friendships: proximity, repeated unplanned interactions, and a setting that encourages people to let their guard down and confide in each other. So that totally makes sense for me with the dog thing. And even thinking back to high school, college, maybe your first job. That's when you and I became friends, our first real job. And you do have more time. But then, like you said, Annette, when you get older and your time does kind of thin out, you just become pickier about who you want to be with. And a lot of things that I would just kind of except when I was younger, like the drama queen
sure.
or the fun vacuum. I'm not willing to do that now. I want to be with happy, joyous mm-hmm. people. So I'm sure in my life, I've been disappointed by friends. And I'm sure in my life, I have disappointed friends in our friendship. But it's hard for everyone when a friendship changes. And it's hard when that proximity changes. It's hard when you don't see each other all the time. Or it's hard once they have twins and you don't. And everything shifts. And it just gets difficult. It gets difficult to keep up with people. And no one's that busy. I hate when friends say, oh, I'm so busy. Mm-hmm. We're all busy.
We're all busy.
And if you want to
sure.
take the time, you're going to take the time.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I think you have to hold friendships. And that's why I think it's awesome that even now, like say for you, when you volunteer at EASL, you go, you're with people that have a common thread.
You instantly have something in common yes. with that person. Because I do
something
think
something very
that,
important to you.
Right. I mean, your friends in high school became your friends because they were there. Initially,
right.
they were in the same, right.
right.
And then you have to figure out, okay, well, are we going to remain friends as we walk through life or not? And in some cases you do, and in some cases you don't. I was reading some tips from Redbook magazine that I thought would be helpful for people who are in their 30s and 40s and who do want to expand their social circle.
Oh, awesome.
And one of the things they said is get into some sort of club, class, activity that you like, because at least you know going into that, the people that are in that room also like the same thing you do, at least that one thing.
Sure.
So instantly that's a bond. Now, whether or not that goes beyond anything, who knows? But at least you don't have to walk in going, I don't know if I have anything in common with these people. At least you know you have that one thing.
Right. Well, that's the way I feel about, I always tell people if you move or if you're unsure about, join a gym and get sure. into that, because the most amazing people, some of the very most amazing people I've met in my life are from there.
From the gym.
Yeah.
They also say, and this is a good one, to tap friends of friends.
Oh, okay.
So, and that makes sense because, you know, maybe you can form a relationship that way through somebody. Like I recently met somebody through somebody and we get along really well.
Oh, I love that.
And we're going to hang out actually this weekend. We're going to hang out and we're going to all hang out as a group.
Sure.
But she's coming along. You know, yeah. I never would have met her if it wasn't for this common friend.
That's awesome. Well, I also think that ties into like parents. Like when your kid's in a sport, you become friends maybe with the other sports parents
right.
because you're all. And again, that dynamic, I guess, could always change, too, if the teams switch or whatever. But that's a great way to meet people, too, because you're
absolutely.
Already there. You both have 8-year-old sons.
You already have that commonality.
Yes.
Sure. There's also apps or websites that you can use to make friends. One of the popular one is Bumble BFF.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's also Girlfriend Circles. And that's a website. Try to connect with old friends that you lost touch with.
Sure.
I mean, you do have memories, shared memories together.
Mm-hmm.
And then make time and remember that building friendships take time and you need to make that time in order to build new friends. And don't expect things to just be like, we met and now we're BFFs. That's not the way that's going to happen.
No. You know, it's really cool. A couple of years ago, I always try to plan a group trip. So a couple of years ago, I sent out an email, a Facebook message to a bunch of people I thought would be fun on vacation and people I grew up with. This one girl reached back and she's like, we're kind of interested. Like, what do you think? And everybody else, I can't, I have this. One was like pregnant. Like there are all these different reasons people couldn't go. And it was just this other couple and my husband and I. And I said to her, hey, just so you know, like no one else is really available to go. It would just be us, but we can try it if you want. They were totally, she's amazing. She's up for anything, but they were totally game.
That's the best.
And now we're already planning our third vacation mm-hmm. with them. And it's just so fun because when you're a couple, it's also meeting other, like it's the husband's getting along and there's that dynamic. I grew up with this couple, so I've known them pretty much mm-hmm. my whole life. But for all of it to work, it's such a blessing in my life that this whole dynamic worked out.
Sure.
And now I think my sister might be going on our next trip with
That's
us
awesome.
Because she's friendly with them. So it's just, it's become such a great thing. And I feel so fortunate in my 40s to have developed this closeness with people I was friends with when I was a child. Mm-hmm.
And I think, too, like we were talking last podcast about stress and the holidays and learning how to say no. But then I also think you got to flip that around and you got to learn how to say yes. And I think that some of the relationships that I have with people is because we both said yes.
So
or, you
true.
Know, like you put yourself out there and you just sort of,
I can't believe it. Annette, I'm telling you, I just said to my mom.
Want to grab dinner or whatever?
that's what I'm trying to get back, because I used to never say no.
Sure.
And then I met my husband and that led in a whole different direction. Mm-hmm. But I'm getting back to that point now where I'm just, you know what? I have more fun when I say yes.
Yes.
Yes, yes. I could sit home and be miserable, mm-hmm. or just sit in my pajama pants, which sometimes is wonderful. But when you say yes, it's so awesome.
Well, do you think it's been harder to make friends as you've gotten older? Take our poll at NJ1015.com.
Okay, so if you were to make your way to my parents' house at any point over the next week or so, chances are that A Christmas Story is playing on their TV on loop constantly, because my dad will watch it 6,000 times between now and the end of like January. And my sister has this tradition of wrapping her gifts on Christmas Eve and watching It's a Wonderful Life, which is just cozy and sweet. But these movies are done to death for me. If I see A Christmas Story one more freaking time, and It's a Wonderful Life, can I tell you, I've tried to watch that movie a million times, and the girl's always in a bush, and I don't get it, and the bell, and the guy's voice annoys me. Anyway, today we're going to talk about the movies we actually do like for Christmas, and to join us, we have Dan Tantillo, the multimedia producer for the Dennis and Judy Show.
Thank you so much for having me, and yeah, I couldn't agree with you in the whole Christmas Story thing, so I'm sure, like, on TBS, when it runs for 24 straight hours, does he watch it for 24
yes.
straight hours,
and then
on TBS, and then watches it another 24 hours?
Yes, probably. Yes, he will.
I think that is the most overrated Christmas movie.
Yeah, I just don't like it.
I just can't. And even on Thanksgiving, they're like, let's find a Christmas movie. I'm like, I swear to God, if you put on A Christmas Story, I'm going home.
All right. Now, I'm hoping that you guys don't find this movie overrated, because one is probably my favorite, and it's probably not going to be a surprise. Christmas Vacation.
Oh, I mean, that's classic,
right? Classic. Absolute classic.
I have to watch it every single year. And I'm not like that with most films, but it gets you in the spirit, but it's also funny.
It's great.
And you know, of course, everything that's going to happen, and you talk about everything that's happening before it happens, and you know the whole thing. But I just always love watching it.
It's great.
And when it's on, I stop, I watch. Like, I love it. I own it. And I don't own many movies that do not star Hugh Jackman. So this is like a big thing for me.
Well, on Thanksgiving, when I was scared we were going to watch A Christmas Story, we were actually trying to get National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. Mm-hmm. We couldn't find my dad's DVD. He probably hid it, so we would have to watch A Christmas Story. But we ended up watching Home Alone.
Okay. Oh, Home Alone is the best,
too. It was so good to watch it again, and it's heartwarming
and
sweet.
Now, that's on my list, but for whatever reason, I've found that I'm in the minority of this. I actually prefer Home Alone 2.
That's the one where they're in New York.
Yes.
You know, is that Christmassy as well?
Yes. Yes, they're both Christmassy.
Okay, I will watch that too.
You know what it is when I was a kid,
you
I
never
had...
saw it?
I did. It's been a while.
I had the fascination with the pigeon lady when I was a kid.
Yes.
So maybe that's why I lean more towards Home Alone 2 than Home Alone 1.
You're so cute.
But for whatever reason, when I was a kid, it didn't like creep me out, but like I thought she was the coolest like person.
I like the guy in the toy store. I thought he was sweet.
I think the thing that is nice about Home Alone 2 is living in New Jersey.
Yeah.
We're so close to Manhattan.
Yes.
We've seen all those iconic buildings and sites.
Right,
so
exactly.
It just kind of gives you that, like, so, you know,
and
you're familiar with it.
And nothing's more Christmas than New York City. Even if I don't like going there anymore just because it's too crowded. Mm-hmm. But you have to do it at least once. And when you think of Christmas, you have to, that's the first thing that comes to mind.
No doubt that maybe some towns in Germany do it better, because I've heard amazing things about what Germany does for Christmas, but you're right. New York is amazing during the holidays.
At least here in the U.S., I've never seen anything else that can compare to it.
Absolutely.
That's a great point.
I also love Love Actually.
Ugh.
Oh, no, come on, Megan. That movie's fantastic.
No, it's not. Too much hype.
Never seen it.
It's such a great movie.
It's such a chick. It's not even a chick flick. It's just,
No, I love that
like
movie.
Like cheesiness to it?
I also own that movie.
It's not. But yeah, but people always do. A lot of people say that's their favorite.
I just think there's so many heartwarming stories for those of you that have not seen it. It's all these different stories about relationships, and not just intimate ones. Mm-hmm. Ones between friends. Ones between mother and son. Whatever. It's all these different relationships that come together in a common story.
Yeah.
So it just works for me.
You know what I have? I do have one that's off the radar, and I hope you guys have seen it, because if you haven't, I'm giving you each an assignment to watch. Watch it. A Christmas Carol with George C. Scott as Scrooge.
On my list. That, to me, is the best one.
It's the best one.
The I don't mean the best movie, but like the best A Christmas Carol.
It's fantastic.
It's great. You have
I'm
you,
not, I don't know
he's
if
like,
I have.
I've seen
you
the one Jim Carrey.
I'm telling you, I am telling you, Dan, if there's one thing you do this Christmas, watch the George C. Scott version. He is so talented and plays that part so well. And the movie is so well done. I could watch that on loop for 24 hours.
Yeah, and there's something about that particular storyline. Get you in the spirit of Christmas.
Oh, you know what? I want to watch that this weekend. That is a great movie.
So what is on your list?
So it's weird. So I divided it a little bit for before I was born and after I was born. So
right, because Danny's an old soul. So he actually watches movies before he was
born. Exactly. So I was born in 1991.
Me too. Gosh. I was born in 90.
It's funny because I noticed that the ones that were before I was born, it's all cartoons. And I didn't do that intentionally. So Charlie Brown Christmas.
Classic.
And that's the one like Christmas album. I have a huge record collection. And the one album I own is the...
You have to.
Very good in that.
That was good. So I have that one. I have the original How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
Yes! Oh, yes, Dan. Yes.
Hands down, the best cartoon in my opinion.
Me too.
And then also cartoon, I have these kind of lumped together, but those like... 60s stop motion, the Rudolph, the Santa Claus is coming to town, the Frosties. They're cheesy, but it reminds me of my childhood. And
me too.
I can watch them when they're on TV. I'll never own it.
I have them down here as childhood favorites. Absolutely.
But it's funny with Rudolph because when you watch it now, you're like, oh my gosh, the technology.
And like the mouths don't match up a lot of the times with the voice, but it's great though.
It's great. Yeah. It's great.
Especially when that little dentist guy talks. What's his name? The one who wants to be a dentist? His mouth never matches what he's saying.
All right, so then... Now, what are the movies after you were born?
So the ones after I was born are more comedies.
Okay.
So Elf, for
sure.
Oh,
that's a great one.
Oh, Smiling is my favorite.
Yeah. And that's the one that I think, at least my generation, not only would they say it's their favorite, but it's quoted not only around Christmas time, but all year round. You'll hear
it's a great movie.
Like, what's your favorite color? You'll just hear somebody just like say that, and you know Elf, and it could be any time of the year.
Oh, and in the when like the shower scene in that movie where she's singing in the shower, baby,
right.
It's
and
cold
he's just
outside,
standing there.
And then he starts to sing the other.
So funny.
It's such a great movie.
And the other one is totally raunchy, totally gross, but Bad Santa. I don't know.
I've never seen it, but that's on every countdown I looked at. Bad
it's
Santa's
very
on every
funny.
Countdown.
Billy Bob Thornton, he's just this drunk. Buffoon he's a jerk, he's not nice, and all he does is like try to go into malls with his little partner and just like rob the malls whenever. So like that's his only reason for being Santa is to eventually rob the malls.
Oh my god. I was
gonna
have to watch every countdown.
It's raunchy as hell. It's it's not for children by any means. It's rated R and it is deservingly so. But it is hysterical.
Okay.
But how do you not like It's a Wonderful Life, though, getting back to that? Like that, what?
I am such a schmoop that you would think I would eat it up. But I've tried and tried because it means so much to my sister that I've tried and tried to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so special
to her. You've never gotten through it?
No, it's torture to me.
Have you seen it, Dan?
I think I have, and correct me if I'm wrong, I remember it being kind of depressing.
Yes!
Well, it's a bit depressing.
So, like, for a movie called It's a Wonderful Life, it's really not that wonderful.
It was like wonderful for the last minute, it seems, or something.
I don't think I finished it through because I'm like, yeah, I want to laugh
and
or
she's
smile
always
or...
in a bush, and he's, like, handing her a jacket. Every time I put it on, she's in the bush. I don't,
What do you guys think of Polar Express? I am embarrassed to say that I've never seen it.
Never seen it.
It's okay. Like it's cute. I was doing a poll asking people, and someone said, it's my absolute favorite movie, and I thought it was cute, and I think really good if you're a kid.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if it's one that carries as an adult.
That's one of those things that's tough. Is like Jack Frost. I guess that came out when I was a kid. That. I watched it as an adult, and I was like, why did I ever think that this was a good movie? There's a lot of those Christmas movies where they're designed for kids.
Right.
And you could tell that it is, and then the parent that's watching with the kids are like, no, this is not a good movie.
I always think it's interesting, too, how a lot of good movies drop during Christmas time, and I will now plug a movie that's dropping today, in fact, actually. Wednesday, December 20th is The Greatest Showman. Everybody go see it. Thank you very much.
He looks amazing. In the trailer for that movie, Hugh Jackman, he's just a talent.
He is.
I knew that's where you were going with it. I wasn't even going to ask.
But there are several movies that are dropping around this week, in fact, like Downsizing, I want to see with Matt Damon.
Okay.
Like there's a lot of interesting films that come out around the holidays.
And there's always the one blockbuster blockbuster, though?
Absolutely.
Like, probably the Star Wars and some kind of a superhero movie, I'm sure, usually comes out around the holidays. But there's always, like, the heartwarming movies that come around the holidays. But then there's also, you have to have one big blockbuster.
Like Die Hard.
That's the question. Do you consider Die Hard a Christmas movie?
Never saw it.
Not at all. I consider it a kick-ass Bruce Willis movie,
yeah,
but I don't.
That's what it is. It just happened to be around the holidays. It doesn't make it a Christmas movie.
I don't think to myself, I have to get myself in the Christmas spirit. Let's go watch a movie about terrorists that take over a building.
Let's go watch Die Hard.
And, like, it's funny because people that defend it as a Christmas movie, like, yell at the people who disagree, but it's not, they're not saying that it's a bad movie. They're just saying it's not a Christmas movie.
I did love him in that, though, because he was, like, just so badass.
Yeah,
he was like, I'm going to save my wife. And I was like, yeah, Bruce. He was like a superhero before
it was
kind of like a big thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Broke him away from moonlighting.
So what's your favorite holiday movie? Email us at forever39@nj115.com. Danny, thanks so much
for joining us.
Yeah, Merry Christmas.
Dan.
Happy holidays to you guys
as well.
Yeah,
thank you, guys.
You got it.
Okay, guys, so as you know, or most of you probably know, Megan and I love to clean, and we've even done a few topics on cleaning.
Hold on. I don't like cleaning.
All right, that's true. We should probably rephrase that.
But we do like everything
clean.
We love
to have a clean house.
Yes, which means we have to clean.
So today we're going to tell you about how often you should be washing some common household items. And the information comes from fashionbeans.com. So the article runs down a list of the 10 most grossest things in your household based on a study by NSF International. So researchers at NSF, they swabbed 30 of the same surfaces in nearly two dozen homes and looked for things like E. coli, mold, yeast, salmonella. And some of this is pretty frightening. So, okay. Cutting boards. They found that 18% of cutting boards contain bacteria like salmonella and E. coli, and 14% had yeast and mold. So I think it goes without saying that you should be washing these after every single use. And they recommend that for meat, poultry, you use a plastic cutting board and not a wood cutting board.
Yeah, because it all just gets soaked up in there.
Yeah.
Okay. Mine is coffee makers. 50% of all coffee makers swabbed contain both yeast and mold, while 9% contain coliform bacteria. So your manual tells you how to clean it, but also a good little household tip is you can run white vinegar through it, and that'll freshen your coffee maker.
White vinegar is a miracle.
It is a miracle.
So another one that you might not really think about, but it totally makes sense, is oven knobs. So talk about germs. Over 25% of them tested positive for mold and yeast. Experts say you should wash them with soap and hot water at least once a week. You can actually, most ovens, you can remove the knobs and do it that way. So I was a little surprised by that one, but it makes sense because you're in the kitchen, you're cooking.
You're turning, you're touching.
Exactly. But I was like, oh.
Well, this one I still cannot get out of my head since I've done the research. Pet water bowls, 18% of them swabbed contained coliform bacteria, and 45% of them were home to yeast and mold. Now, this was their tip. Wash once a week with soap and water. I clean mine every day.
Yeah.
I can't imagine. Would you want to drink out of something? Why would you not clean your dog's water bowl?
And you have to refresh the water, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I do it all day. No one has fresher water than my dogs. But every morning, the first thing I do when I wake up is wash their bowls. How do you not do that every day? Do you have to encourage people to do that once a week?
Oh, I guess you do. Gross. Well, so speaking of pets, and this one did make me a little sad, but I honestly had no idea that pet toys were this disgusting. I mean, I knew they were disgusting, but I didn't know they were this disgusting. So here we go, guys, for you guys that have animals. So NSF International found 23% of them tested positive for staph bacteria, which is dangerous. And more than half had mold and yeast. So hard toys should be washed with soap and water, and soft toys can be thrown in the wash. I'm thinking, like, they actually didn't give a recommendation as to how much you should be doing that. I'm like, okay, every day maybe?
I don't know. Staph infection?
You use the toy, let me put it in the laundry.
Well, my next one is toothbrush holders. 14% of them swab contains staph bacteria as well. 27% had coliform bacteria. And a massive 64% contained yeast and mold. Now, I keep saying coliform bacteria in my list. That's actually universally present in large numbers of feces. So everything I've talked about so far has this on it. So you need to clean it. So for toothbrush holders, they say use hot soapy water. And even your dishwasher, you can put them on the top rack if it's allowed. And I do ours every week with disinfectant wipes and rubbing alcohol because we have automatic toothbrushes. And then if we get sick, I replace the heads. But I do that once a week, disinfectant wipes and rubbing alcohol.
So here's a tip about the toothbrushes I'm going to give everybody.
Ooh.
There's two tips. The first one is if you're somebody who does not shut your toilet lid, you need to. So what you should do is shut the toilet lid and then flush because that will prevent the feces. What
yes.
is it again?
It's coliform bacteria.
Okay, so that will prevent all of that from going into the air because you shut the lid.
Oh,
the
my God.
Other thing is they actually make, and I'm sure some of you have these things, toothbrush covers. So you can cover the little toothbrush with the cover, and then you don't have to worry so much about the feces on the toothbrush. But
it's so gross.
Now, how often do you throw out your toothbrush? Because I'm pretty much like it probably once every 2 months.
I would say probably, honestly, twice a year.
Okay, so I asked my dentist about it the other day, in fact. I said, how often should I be doing this? Because this is what I'm doing. And she goes, yeah, that's good.
Oh,
once every 2 months is good.
Okay.
So
do you use an electric?
I don't use an electric.
Oh,
yeah.
You should try it. It's heaven on earth.
I should try it.
That, and I also use a tongue scraper, which I'm addicted to.
Okay, I have no idea what that is.
Oh, my God. I will buy you one. I will bring it next time I come.
All right, so far, you need to bring me the tongue scraper, the Kit Kats that we talked about.
Okay, Kit Kats I'm making this weekend.
Okay, good.
And also, Mike and I are stopping at that chocolate shop that has the Twizzlers
exciting.
That I promised you.
Yes, the Twizzlers.
So
I forgot about those.
Going to do that this weekend. So don't think I forgot about you. And I also know I owe you a Hugh Jackman DVD when it comes out on DVD. I take care of my girlfriend.
That's
no
right.
worries.
All right, good. I'm bringing you nothing.
No, that's okay. Your love is enough for me.
Okay, kitchen countertops. Now, I think this goes without saying, but these are obviously one of the most germy places in your home, and they should be wiped down with a mixture of bleach and water every time you use them for food prep.
Okay.
I would think most people would do that, but one never knows.
I'm worried about people. So the kitchen sink. 27% of kitchen sinks tested positive for mold, while 45% had coliform bacteria again. Mm. So that's like raw chicken, things Mm-mm. like that. So make sure you scrub it from time to time and disinfect the surface of your sink. I do this about weekly. Whenever I clean the kitchen, I disinfect it once a week. And then I go in and I do the grate with like a little toothbrush and I get disinfectant. It's a whole situation, but I definitely do that. My husband's big into like eating like meat and stuff. So I never want anything Mm-mm. lurking.
Now this one shocked me.
Okay.
And I do not do this, and now I feel like I'm going to be a maniac about it. Faucet handles, so think bathrooms, think kitchen,
yes.
think shower, I guess, even.
Yeah.
They said you should be cleaning them daily. I'm like, what? I only do it once a week. Like
so
when
do
my,
I.
During my big clean, I do it. Nope. Once a day. I'm like, okay, well, I'll up it to like maybe three times a week.
Oh my God.
Once a day, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I'm going to go through so many antibacterial
wipes.
Yeah, but
we survived thus far doing it once a week.
Yeah, I think we'll be okay, but I'm like, wow, they're pretty bad.
And we need to discuss this last one. So my last one on my list is dish sponge. Of those tested, 18% harbored staph bacteria, 77% contained coliform bacteria, and a massive 86% were positive for yeast and mold.
Wow.
So they say you can toss them bi-weekly. I toss mine weekly. But you can also...
Bi-weekly. Okay.
Yeah,
interesting. I'm with you.
When
I'm
clean
pretty
the
much
kitchen,
once a week, right?
Yeah, because I have one sponge for the countertops and one for dishes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So they say you can always microwave a wet sponge to kill some of that bacteria. But my goodness, people. Like, can you just splurge a little?
And get the
it's
sponge.
A four-packet shop rate, sometimes 78 cents. You can do this. Like, it doesn't need to be staph and mold and...
No.
Yeast. Ugh,
but you know the two things that also harbor a lot of bacteria.
What's
is
that?
Your sheets.
Oh yes.
And they say you really should be doing those once a week. I do them once every 2 weeks.
I used to, but now we have a dog that I do sheets like pretty much every other day at my house.
Oh wow.
I'm not even kidding.
That's a lot.
We
and
have
then
a senior
towels.
Dog.
And I almost feel like I need to be doing those more often. I do those usually twice a week and I'm like, maybe I should be doing them like all
the
time.
I do them when we run out of washcloths.
Okay.
Yeah, because we don't have as many washcloths. So that's rule.
I used to get a facial very regularly. Now I just can't afford to do that. But she gave me this really great tip, which, of course, I don't do. But I was saying to her, you know, oh my gosh, your skin is so beautiful. Now I'm thinking it's because she uses super expensive products. But she said, you know what it is? She said, it's not any of the stuff. She's like, I change my pillowcase every single day. I'm like, that really does make a lot of sense, because you have to think about, like, even though you wash your face, I'm sure that you're not washing your hair every night. And even though you're washing your face, you're probably not getting everything off of it. And then you're sleeping. Right. And then you're sleeping on the pillowcase. So God only knows what's on there.
And I also sleep on silk pillowcases.
Oh, you can see a lot of stuff when you have silk. Yeah. Which is kind of good, I guess.
Yeah, because it makes me wash it
more. Yeah, cotton, you don't see as much, I feel like.
And it's supposed to be good for your hair and your skin to sleep on, like satin silk.
Oh, I didn't know that. I'm going to have to upgrade my bed.
Yeah. It's pretty sexy over at my house, let me tell you.
Exactly. Well, I don't think there's any need to do a poll on this.
No.
But if you guys know of another place that we didn't cover that you really think needs to be part of the podcast and we can mention it, you can let us know by emailing us at forever39@njwomen5.com. Yes, we do. So that wraps up this week's episode of Forever 39. On next week's show, we're going to talk about vow renewals. Are they a do or a don't? I know Megan thinks they're a don't. Digital self-harm, and we'll also reveal our guilty pleasures.
Fun, fun.
I think everybody knows mine.
Yes. Yes, we do.
All right, guys. Now, what is your assignment? The Greatest Showman comes out today. That's
so
your
run out. As soon as this podcast ends, get in your
go
car.
Go see Hugh Jackman's new movie. I really should, like, seriously be his publicist. And you or should. Just let, you know, like, they should totally, like, throw
we totally
me a bone
have to
with
tag him in this post.
Yes. Hugh Jackman. Hashtag Hugh.
Yes.
And guys, we also wanted to wish you guys that celebrate Merry, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Hope you have
everybody.
A great time. Please be safe on the roads.
We love you and we appreciate your support this whole last
absolutely.
Year.
And you know, this is it's been a year.
Yeah, a year of our show.
It's been a year of our show.
Going strong.
Going strong. But Merry Christmas, everybody.